In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may recall a few weeks ago when in the sermon we talked about the prosperity gospel. That's the false gospel that twists scripture and tries to turn the Christian faith into a kind of magic by which we manipulate God into giving us riches. The most egregious use of a biblical passage I ever heard in support of the prosperity gospel was abusing today's gospel reading, the narrative of the widow's mite, to promote that false teaching. In the translation we use, Jesus says the widow gave out of her poverty. In the Old King James Version, it is rendered, she gave out of her want. The word want there is used in the same way that it's used in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want there means to be lacking something necessary like food, money, or shelter. To be in a state of want is to be in a state of poverty. A televangelist took that statement, she gave out of her want, to mean that she gave because she wanted something. He interpreted it to mean that she gave to God expecting to get something in return, quid pro quo. He asked the congregation then, what does a poor widow want? And someone shouted out, a husband. And then another person shouted, a rich husband. And everyone cheered and applauded. We know it doesn't work like that. That's not what the widow's mite is about. What is it about? Let's get at the meaning of this event and what it says about wealth and stewardship, about faith in service. In this way, many of you have had to dispose of a loved one's possessions, I'm sure. When my parents died, my sister and I gave away their clothing and their cookware, and we sold their house and their other furnishings. We divided between us photos and jewelry and other mementos. That's how I got possession of my Uncle Johnny's discharge papers from World War I. And by the way, Monday, November 11th, is the 117th anniversary of the ending of World War I. It ended on the 11th day of the 11th month and at the 11th hour. Johnny was also my godfather. He died when I was 2 years old, so I don't remember him. But my parents tell me that he was very generous to me when I was a baby. The discharge papers don't have any real value. I doubt even a collector would buy them. But they are just the kind of thing you can't throw away. I'm sure you have things like that too. Johnny served his country in time of war. He worked hard in civilian life. He married but had no children. And now all that is left to remember him by is a headstone in a forgotten corner of some old cemetery and those discharge papers. Is that all that life comes down to? Melanie and I used to go to a lot of estate sales. Her hobby was machine knitting, and home knitting machines are not produced in the United States anymore. Your best chance of finding one is at an estate sale. Is there anything on earth that is a more poignant reminder of how fleeting human life is and how unimportant our possessions are than to see someone's treasures being sold for pennies on the dollar? As the Bible says, all is vanity and a chasing after the wind. Now, consider the poor widow in today's gospel reading. She only has two copper coins called mites. We're told that together they're worth about a penny. Jesus said that was her whole living. That was all that she had, and she put it in the offering. She wasn't hoping to get a return on her investment. She gave out of her commitment, her generosity, and her love. Had I been there, I might have said to her, "Don't do that. You need that. There are plenty of other people with more money than you have who can make offerings. Keep that penny for yourself." I would have been wrong to say that. Jesus didn't say that. He knows better. Jesus knows best. He would not have embarrassed the poor woman that way. And he respected her freedom and let her keep her dignity. He knew it was important for her to make her response to God. Making an offering is an act of worship, and Jesus was not going to interfere with her worship of the Lord. No matter how impractical, no matter how extravagant her worship might seem to us. The widow's offering and all offerings to God are acts of love. And true acts of love are almost always unreasonable and extravagant. Of what practical value is a bouquet of flowers, or an engagement ring, or sitting with someone with dementia for hours when they might not even know who you are? Talk about impractical. Think about what God has done for us. He sacrificed his only begotten Son on the cross to demonstrate once and for all his infinite love for sinners like you and me. Could anything be more unreasonable, more extravagant than that? Is there anything on earth, in the universe, more valuable than Jesus' body and blood offered up, broken and shed for the forgiveness of our sins? God is the ultimate giver. You cannot outgive God. He always gives more to us than we could ever give to him. Jesus commended the widow because while the others gave out of their surplus, their abundance, their wealth, she gave out of her poverty. She gave all she had, and Jesus commended it for it. She is an example for all of us to follow. So what does it mean for us to give our all to God? What might our lives look like if we really did that? Now, I'm not expecting everyone to write out a check for the balance of their bank accounts and put it in the offering plate today, and then mail in your pension funds and your other assets tomorrow. I'm not expecting anyone to quit their jobs, jump on a plane to Madagascar, and become a missionary. That is probably not what God is asking you to do. God has already given you the responsibilities of caring for your family and raising your children and other honest, productive work to do right here. You don't have to travel far away. You don't have to live in abject poverty to serve God. Luther renounced the vows that he had taken of poverty, chastity, and obedience as a monk so that he could serve God as a husband, father, and pastor. How then might we live our unique individual life situations if we put God above all else? How might our lives change, knowing that we are loved by God, forgiven and saved, if we really tried to live in a way that was pleasing to him? Following the commandments and the catechism, we could start by speaking well of others and forgiving them their trespasses against us as God has forgiven us. Often, just spending time with someone who is lonely or troubled is the very best gift you can give them. The Spirit that helped the poor widow to offer up her whole life can also lead us to make offerings of time, talent, and treasure that are pleasing to God and helpful to our neighbor. There was a congregation I knew that had the motto, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. I kind of like that. Each of us has been blessed by God with different abilities and different resources. There was also a small urban church I knew in an impoverished community. The pastor wanted to reach out to the unchurched children in that neighborhood, and he asked a woman in the congregation if she would teach Sunday school. She told the pastor that she really did not have the skills to teach Sunday school, but she could cook. She told the pastor that she would cook breakfast on Sunday mornings for the neighborhood children who might not otherwise eat on the weekends because there was no free school lunch program then. Someone else volunteered to teach. She cooked. The children came for breakfast and stayed for Sunday school, and God's word was proclaimed. Not everyone can cook. Not everyone can teach. Not everyone can give huge sums of money. But we can all do something with whatever God has blessed us with. All the widow had was her penny. Her and her offering could have been easily unnoticed or at least soon forgotten because they seem so insignificant to us. But Jesus noticed, and he remembered. And 2,000 years later, that unnamed widow and her meager gift are still being remembered and celebrated and held up before us as an example for us to follow. Her offering truly was the biggest of the day. All of our precious possessions will eventually rust or be eaten by moths, or sold or given away by our heirs. Our very lives will one day be forgotten by future generations, but not by God. While we are here on this earth, God gives us the opportunity to make who we are and what we are part of something bigger, part of his everlasting kingdom. However much or however little we have, no matter how much or how little we are able to do, it can be used for the greater glory of God and to spread his life-giving word. That is something that will last forever. Nothing we do for God, no matter how small, is ever wasted. God can do mighty things with our mites and with us. So I leave this question with you. What is God doing for you, and what can God do with you? Amen.